Now you're listening to Wrestling News That Matters from people you want to hear it from, deep from within the confines of the internet, covering WWE like no one else and covering TNA because no one else will. You are listening to the best in the world, Ring Rust Radio!
Episode of Ring Rust Radio, the best goddamn wrestling radio show on Spreaker, on the internet, in the whole goddamn universe, folks. I'm your host, the most Donald Wood, looking fine and feeling final, baby. Ooh. Since the last time we spoke, my Philadelphia Eagles are now 3-0. The Bills lost to the future AFC East division winning Miami Dolphins.
Yeah. How long in the future? 10 years, maybe?
Brother, I'll tell you right now, if I'm building a franchise, I'm building it with a cornerstone called Tua. Ain't no Josh Allen, Carson Wentz looking like motherfucker in my house.
Says a lot about you.
And also the Giants are for real the team I thought they would be. Not the 2-0 team, the 2-1. Team that we
good
saw
talking.
Last night.
Yeah, I thought like they'd be 0-3.
I might be having.
I mean,
a
I thought they would not be because of the super easy schedule, but you know.
Yeah, I legitimately think they're going to get smoked for the remainder of the year, especially the two times they play the Philadelphia Eagles.
Why are you saying it
like that?
That's how you say it, Philadelphia.
That was a new dumb thing in Philadelphia.
Never
Philadelphia. That's how you do. You actually have marble mouth right through it. Someone called it hoagie mouth.
Yeah. It's called a fucking sub, you disgusting.
It's a hoagie, fuck you. It's all about the bread, and it's better here. So, guys, our new podcast, Talking Balls, it's going to take off soon. Maybe next Wednesday, I'm not sure. But we're here to talk wrestling. Is SmackDown, Raw, AEW? I watched it all when I was on break.
I don't think you did.
I watched highlights.
I watch more AEW when we don't do the show than when we do the show.
You said doo-doo.
I watched a full episode of AEW for the first time in, like, months, besides pay-per-view.
Last week, I didn't watch AEW until the following week, and I didn't watch any WWE at all, but I did manage to catch highlights and two matches from the Impact Wrestling pay-per-view that BJ said they tried to sneak by me like Ring of Honor.
Mm-hmm. It was, like, on a Friday night, wasn't it?
That's what Ring of Honor used to do the shit
AEW
all the time.
AEW and WWE.
Ring of Honor used to do. Remember, PJ, you'd be like, fuck it, Death Before Dishonor's tomorrow. You're like, what the fuck
Ferreira
has happened?
Headlining.
That's not true. Don't say that, dude. He's a legend somewhere. He's on AEW Dark, I think. I'm not sure.
I just don't understand Impact having a pay per view against Rampage Grand Slam and SmackDown. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Do
it on a different fucking day. Do it on your Thursday then.
That's like me and Reggie fighting and then Mike being like, I want in. And you're like, we will both beat the fuck out of you.
Reggie's
and still have enough to go around.
Reggie's a very nice person.
I don't think so. I think he's a fat slob. But here's what I learned from this week in wrestling. Grand Slam was great. Sami Zayn's great.
To the first, definitely to the second.
No, you're wrong. BJ, we have a schedule.
Well, that was our review of AEW and SmackDown. We will have a little bit about Raw, I guess. We do have Dirt Sheet Busters. That's where Mike Chiara brings us all the lies and rumors going around pro wrestling. There's been a lot.
Oh, my. Yes, there has.
Every time we're like, I need a breather. Let's take a walk. Let's walk it off for a week. Let's put a bracket episode up and take a walk. As soon as I close the door behind me, I just hear fucking feet running around. Dirt Sheet feet running around. You're like, I know y'all acting
it sounds
up
like
in there.
Slipping on papers.
Yeah, cons, ow, paper cuts, ow, shit, ow.
We have This Week in All Elite, because the people need the bars.
How were they? On a scale of 1 to fire.
Always fire.
That's right.
Ice, baby. We have Ring Rust Retro, probably not today.
That's my rap. like visionary, that my visionary that I look to. Yeah, when Vanilla I'm trying to come up with rhymes, I think of the rap god.
Vanilla you went Ice. From Eazy-E when you first started this, yep. and now you're just like shooting for Vanilla Ice. Yes. That's smart, actually.
It's very smart to lower yeah, the standards that low. Definitely. Yeah.
We have fan.
I think
emails.
He's more like Jamie Kennedy from Beverly Hills.
Album
was
called.
King
emails.
Kong ain't got none on me.
Mike. Yeah.
It's really like we went away. We went away and we came back better than ever. I don't even think there's disputing it now.
Guys, do you love the show? Do you want to be an honorary Oos of Ringrose yes. Radio? Well, you can find us anywhere you get your podcasts. You can interact with us on Twitter at Ringrose Radio. If you want to email us and be part of the show, send to ringroseradio@yahoo.com. Also buy our merchandise, prowrestlingtees.com/ringroseradio. So many great t-shirts, including Cut Your Dick! It is my assumption, without really knowing at all, mm-hmm. that we had 75 new shirts put up on the site since the last time we had a quote-unquote live show, because that's what George Cruz lives for, putting shirts of us on there. Only he buys them, so please, buy them.
Yeah,
make George Cruz feel like less of a loser by
buying them. Oh, that's really fucked up. So, and
no, that's a nice thing.
By this time, by the time people hear this, I hope it's not too late. But I'm sending hope and prayers and love to everybody in Florida who are about to get walloped by that fucking storm, Ian. And George is right in that area,
I talked to George. He said he's good right now.
Yeah, well, of course, because the fucking hurricane's not there yet.
Well, he's inland.
I know, it doesn't matter. Believe it or not, the hurricane's pretty wide.
He hasn't had to get evacuated or anything.
Well, I'm going to say this, please.
Throw those t-shirts up.
If he hears it, yeah, he's got to.
He said he was going to make a boat out of them.
Can I tell you something? It will not last. Boat will not last. Do not do that. I will say this. You'll have plenty of shit to soak up the flood water if you stick around, all those fucking shirts. But I will also say this. He reminds me of the Three Little Pigs, and his house is made out of t-shirts. And I think that big bad wolf, Hurricane Ian's going to blow that motherfucker down. So please go live with your brother David for a weekend. Please. God
you
want
to know what that fucking guy sent me?
Nudes. Nudes.
Do you want to know?
You want to know?
An autographed picture of Sammy Guevara and Ty Conti.
So where did you hang it once it was framed?
So my initial thought was throw it immediately in the garbage. Then my second thought was, like, maybe, like, burn it. Then my third thought was maybe if we have a gathering in Philly, I'll bring it with me. We could play darts on it.
That's not a bad idea.
I thought you were going to give it away, but, yeah, that makes sense.
No, who the fuck wants that?
Yeah, for real. Got to pay someone to take it.
If the brown box ever comes back, then there you go.
Well,
did you ever see those adult films of someone, someone finishing on a picture of someone else? That's what I imagine would happen with that picture if it was given to someone like George, for the record.
He has like 100 of the exact same thing. But
They're all stuck together.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, we got to talk WWE. Let's hit that music.
George is gross.
Radio. What? Go there.
Did I forget something?
Yeah, you wouldn't let me say that.
I didn't. It's not that I wouldn't let you.
Pages and then that's it.
I got distracted and then I felt BJ hit the perfect note to move on from, and I cut it. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. I think it was George's gross or something like that. That you screamed real loud and then we were like immediately
that's
cut.
True. How do you build on that?
You can't. You just walk away from it and know that you did a job well done. Okay. Speaking of job well done, Sami Zayn sells it for me. Every mm-hmm. time. Every time. Fucking time. The guy is just... This is where, when I saw your schedule, I was like, I'm going to steal the thing that Jim Del Chapio texted me. And then I looked in emails, and he had sent in an email, so I couldn't do that. So now I have to lead on my own opinions, and it's rough for me.
I don't believe that email to be true anyways.
Oh, I would love that. But I will say this in the bottom of my heart. Everything that they're doing, the honorary Oos stuff, Sika Sakaloa, it's like being his best buddy.
That really so seems racist.
I mean, it's not. It's just Solo. I struggle with his word. I struggle with that word. Jey Uso, Solo? Very easy. Roman Reigns, very easy. Okay. Sika Sikaloa. It's just, I'm close, right? Tagatikaloa? Tua Tagovailoa, right? Was that the guy from the Dolphins?
What is wrong with you right now?
So I think that Sami Zayn is elite in his performance.
I hope you somehow get canceled, whatever that means, and that you no longer do the show.
Yeah, me
I
too.
I thought you were going to say, I hope you somehow get canceled.
I mean,
yeah,
I don't necessarily.
He is the cancer of
if the right shoe now, if the shoe fits. You know what I mean? I'm like the CM Punk of this locker room. I'm gonna bite the shit out of your arm too. I'm Ace Steel and CM Punk in one. So yeah, I think everything that Sami Zayn is doing is incredible. And I will say this: I'm emotionally. Remember? Okay, I will say this.
It's everyone makes it.
Yes.
Like Jey Uso was phenomenal.
He's angry. He's so mad.
Laughing out loud.
Take the shirt off, Sammy!
Yeah.
Screaming at him. And he's getting all hyped up behind Jimmy. And he's like,
yes.
Then he got so upset when Roman. And I knew. I was like, I just felt like Roman was like, are you really going to be a dick to Sam? You can't do that. Gotta give him a new t-shirt. Because I was, honestly, when they were all facing the camera, I was like, why don't they have a new shirt? Like, why isn't Sammy wearing the new shirt? Like, he's just constantly wearing the old shirt. I was like, everyone else has a new shirt. There you go.
So, I said before, coming out of Clash at the Castle, that I was getting tired of the storyline with the bloodline, because it had become a bit repetitive, it had become a bit stale to me. Sami Zayn is the shot in the arm that this fucking storyline needed to keep it going.
He's been there, though.
He's been there.
I know, but
it's like before money.
He's said it's
but,
not boring and it's not repetitive because this is still developing.
Now, but it was still very early on, and it was really about Drew. Now it's really about Sammy. It is about Sammy, and I am all here for that. And I'm excited to see where it goes. And I mean this with my heart, I am going to be sad when they eventually beat the fuck out of him and just jump beat him. Like, when they take his shirt away and they jump beat the fuck out of him and try to kill him. I will be sad. I will be
that's
emotionally.
Be amazing.
That's what I'm saying. I will have a guttural, emotional response to that, and that is good storytelling.
And you know who's gonna help him?
Kevin Owens. Owens. Of course,
yeah, it's gonna be fucking amazing.
And then the two of them are gonna take the tag team titles.
Yeah, it's gonna be fucking perfect.
Mike Chiari, thoughts on all this?
Yeah. So
I mean, we said this weeks ago, but we're just reiterating.
Right. Schedule says SmackDown's opener is one of the best segments of the year. For me, one of the best segments in years. It was that good. It was like 20 minutes long. Felt like it was 2 minutes. Like, you look at the clock, you're like, holy shit, that was 20 minutes? No way. It was that good and that compelling. Like, you know, for me, and wrestling is, it's great matches and it's great segments and it's great promos. And for me, if you're having a quote-unquote five-star match with nothing behind it, I don't really care so much about that. These are the
what
things that
right
I live
for. Right now?
These are the things that I live for, these types of segments in wrestling, and this to me was, what the fuck is that?
Is it making noise?
Yeah, what? Yeah, it sounds like...
I think I might have a bad microphone now. I think it might be smoking right now.
Outside, like,
I literally did nothing different. I'm really? I'll mute.
I don't hear it anymore, though. But anyways, this just was the perfect segment. Yeah, so I was just disappointed that we're going to get a resolution to the storyline already, essentially. And we all know that it's going to be Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens going against the Usos probably at some point, maybe even against Roman Reigns at some point. But I wasn't ready for this to be over yet, because every single segment we get with Sami Zayn trying to be a part of this group, trying to act like he's Samoan, essentially, trying to act like he's part of the family. Like, it's top-notch entertainment, in wrestling terms, at least. So I was just so happy when they did the entire swerve and Roman ended up giving the shirt. It was almost like, to me, it reminded me of the moment in the Boneyard match where, like, AJ was starting to get his ass kicked. He's like, please don't bury me. And Undertaker's like, you think I'm going to bury you? I'm not going to bury you. And he's, like, hugging him. Except Roman really didn't bury Sami Zayn. He gave him the shirt, and he made him an honorary Oos. And it was just, like, the greatest moment ever, like, the look on Sami Zayn's face and, like, his celebrate, like, his fucking, everything he does, like, his special high five with Jimmy Uso, like, they've been working on it backstage, and then Jey Uso, like, just the fucking look on his face, knowing that, like, Sami Zayn is still in the group, and then, like, the dynamic between him and Solo, building off of that, like, it's awesome. It's like, Solo likes Sami Zayn more than he likes his own brothers, and he's, like, standing up for this guy, just absolutely beat the shit out of Ricochet and Madcap Moss backstage just for talking a little bit of shit on Sami Zayn. Like, the entire dynamic of the Bloodline is awesome. There's so many moving parts. There's so much intrigue involved with the storyline. And then again, you're going to have Kevin Owens getting involved in this at some point. And you're and a shoe's going to have to drop at some point. And when that happens, it's going to be amazing. Also, we're going to get the Bloodline, I would think, almost certainly, as a unit in War Games, which is going to be fucking incredible. And you're going to have so many storylines that can branch off of that. Like, this is the nucleus of WWE right now, this Bloodline storyline. And this is something that can carry you for months and months on end. And that is why, as much as I feel bad for Drew McIntyre, you know, not winning the championship, it's why I'm okay with Roman Reigns still being champion, because this is so good.
Is Donnie outside again?
This microphone is going to be a problem the whole time. I don't even know what to say.
Maybe you should just take off.
Just leave? I wish. Can you send me a new microphone? Can you send me your old one, Mike?
It's on fire. It's charred.
Charred? Extra charred? BJ?
Yeah? What's up?
Did you want to talk about this?
Oh, I said about I love Jey Uso earlier.
Yeah, I did hear that. I thought maybe you had more to bring to the table, but I guess that's on me.
That loves Jey Uso.
But yeah, it makes the Bloodline stuff more fun.
I want them to square off against DX on Monday Night Raw in 2 weeks.
Okay. That's reserved for fucking New Day. Sorry, bud. Candice LeRae is back. It looks like she's part of the catalyst as we continue to watch the Nikki Cross crazy person turn.
Thank God.
But are we going to get her feuding? Is she going to try? It looks like they tease her joining Damage Control, and then she could easily be on the face team instead. Well, they kind of threaten
opposing.
Her. Yeah, well, maybe she flips it and joins them. I did see behind Bailey's head what appeared to be the buzzard. From...
I saw people say that, but there's not. You couldn't tell anything.
Something moved past back there.
It just looked like it was some guy walking.
No, it did not. It looked like a puppet. A bunch of yahoos out here.
Right now.
Conspiracy
Donnie,
theories.
Did you see that?
What?
By the way, the Sami Zayn post SmackDown promo.
I don't think I did.
It was
so good. You should definitely go check it out. So he's just like complaining. He's talking to I don't even know the girl's name. They have a new interviewer like every
Megan
week.
Morant,
like, all right, sure. He's explaining like how. You know, culturally, this is such an important thing going on with his background, Samoan family and everything. And you just hear people, just general workers at WWE, like, in the back. Like, you don't see them. You hear them. He's looking behind. He's like, what's going on back there? Andre Uso trying to do an interview over here. Who's hiring these yahoos?
Hiring these yahoos. I do genuinely love him. He's very good. He's very fun.
The best part of it, though, was, like, he's, like, there's the Samoans, and I'm Arab, and historically, the Samoans and Arabs have really gotten along. He goes to the interviewer, what are you, like, white? Like, general white? General white.
I will say one thing, Donnie, back to the whole blown thing.
Jesus Christ.
While it was happening, yes, it would have been very abrupt. However, Sami Zayn, once upon a time, was one of the best baby faces in all of wrestling. Like, he was on a... Debray-esque ascent.
He's gonna ride again.
Eventually, like, I mean, he could definitely get there again if they want. If the Bloodline turns on him, I think everyone's gonna support Sami Zayn in such a way that he's immediately one of the top baby faces in the wrestling.
In the wrestling?
In wrestling?
Like
I know it's. Yeah. I can't help it. I don't know what
Maybe
to do.
You should leave.
I can't. In the wrestling. Are you ready? I don't know what happened to it. I don't know what happened to him.
Took 2 weeks off and it's like, fuck you guys.
I think the microphone just said it's been here for 12 years and it's like, I am fucking done with this, dude. You're disgusting. I am tired. It's fucking, it looks like shit.
Working.
I want to work it. Candice LeRae. So what's the first feud for Candice LeRae?
So, first of all, it's amazing how just the Gargano LeRae family, you just get like a random... return that nobody's expecting at a random time. That's their thing. Johnny Gargano just came back out of nowhere, out of a commercial break in Toronto like a month ago, and then Candice just like shows up out of nowhere, out of a commercial break with a random match against Nikki Cross, which is just like nobody's expecting that. I hear the music, I'm like, oh, what the hell's that music? It sounds familiar. And then she comes out. Like, it was cool. Like, I like when there's genuine surprises, not everything getting fucking spoiled all the time by the dirt sheets. And you know, BG, you mentioned it yesterday. I'm sure they'll come up with, like, oh, they knew ahead of time that, you know, and they'll say after the fact, but they didn't give us any information before. It's funny how that happens all the time. But I'm glad that she's back. She's awesome. Probably one of the best in-ring workers in female wrestling today. And I think that she's going to be a good fit. And what I see happening potentially, and what I would like to happen is, well, she's going to be facing Dakota Kai next week, so she's kind of in this feud with Damage Control. I don't think she's going to join Damage Control. What I could see happening, because you need tag teams in this women's division. You need people that can go up against Damage Control. Indy Hartwell, call her up and have her team with Candice again and go up against Damage Control. Because Indy seems like she's pretty much done with NXT. You know, they did that segment like a while back where like Dexter was like, I'll see you soon or whatever. So call her up. You can do like a modified version of The Way without Austin Theory involved in it. And you can have Candice and Indy as a tag team. And I think that strengthens the women's tag team division a lot, which you need, because still right now you really only have one women's tag team.
That's fine. I'm fine with
that. That's exactly what I was going to say. I even said a couple months ago I thought that they would bring up Indy Hartwell, bring back Dexter Lumis if Candice LeRae was ready. So it's all coming to fruition. They just have to bring Indy Hartwell.
So just everything we like from NXT, they're bringing to the main roster.
Well, that's what Triple H is doing.
It's almost... Listen, hold on, guys.
Let me continue what I was doing.
Hold on for a minute. I'm going to blow your fucking tits right off your chest. Listen to this. Imagine if Vince had just done this from the beginning.
My tits are still here, because that wasn't like that shocking of a statement.
I wish you left.
I wish your tits weren't there. I think
you wish they were in your hands.
I wish they were wrapped around something. Guys, listen. I think I fixed the audio. I think I fixed it. I sound great, right? I sound great. I sound wonderful. No? Yes?
Not really. I mean, doesn't sound like you're outside.
Okay, great. I think it was the fan I had in the background.
Probably not.
I don't know about that, but okay.
The White Rabbit. There's QR codes. I'm not bothering with that shit.
No.
People are searching.
Yeah, just let people tell me what.
Yeah, people are searching the HTML code, and they're finding shit in there, the source code, and I'm like, you guys are fucking
dweebs.
And
I'm like, what is that?
Listen,
what does that mean?
That is fuckingcation is what that is.
Yeah.
Good for you guys.
My daughter wants me to play Minecraft with her, and I'm like, cool. Now I'm trying to, like, I'm into it enough to where I have to understand it, and this is how it feels when I have to explain to someone. They're like, what are you doing in there with your kid? I'm like, it's Minecraft. We're actually digging for, like, ores, and we have to take those ores and, like, make them into, you don't care about this. I'm sorry I even started talking. And it's like people, but do you think it's Bray Wyatt? Do you think the White Rabbit, or is it Paul London?
Well, Paul London wasn't the White Rabbit.
No, it was Karrion Kross who was the White Rabbit.
And kind of Masquerita Sagrada.
Yes. Yes, here we go,
that's
Mike.
Who it should be. The greatest little person in history.
Fuck
of the
NXT.
World.
Fuck rehash and NXT storylines. If Triple H had if Paulie L had a set of balls, he'd head over to Lucha Town and get fucking Matunza out of fucking Japan and give him a fucking mask.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Whoopee.
Seems like Tony Khan should have just done that when he had him.
Yeah.
Nah, I had to just make him lose and
then
go home.
Well, it kind of seems like he wasn't going to be there for very long, and we were right. Go ahead.
So, yeah, it's interesting. I think anytime you could do stuff like this that holds people's interest and gets people talking on a weekly, daily basis about something.
With very minimal TV time, too.
Right. It's a good thing in wrestling. Like, it's been talked about a ton on social media. Everybody wants to know, well, like, what is this? I think everybody assumes that it's Bray Wyatt, and I think that it most likely, almost certainly is Bray Wyatt. But you don't know until it actually happens. So you're going to get alternate theories and all kinds of stuff. Like, could it be Bray Wyatt and other people with him, maybe? I think that's a possibility. But regardless, I think that Bray Wyatt's at the center of this. And, you know, the question is posed here. If it's not Bray Wyatt, is it underwhelming or disappointing? I think, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
I think it would be. Because if you look at people that are available to WWE right now, that we know at least, because I don't know what the fuck's going on in AEW with contract situations and stuff like that. What we do know is that Bray Wyatt's a free agent. And that he can go sign anywhere he wants. So I think of anybody that's a free agent that's not like The Rock or something, Bray Wyatt's the biggest name out there. He's the biggest person that you can get and bring into your company. You know, I didn't like aspects of Bray Wyatt at first. Like, I never thought he was a great in-ring worker, and I think that his stuff was repetitive, but then as he evolved, as he became the Fiend, as he had the Firefly Funhouse character, I became a fan. And there's no doubt he's an incredibly creative person. And there's a lot of stuff going on with this White Rabbit thing and a lot of opportunities to be creative. And they are being creative with it already. So I can only imagine what it's going to lead to. But I do think it's Bray Wyatt. I think that, and it's funny that people every single show think, oh, it's going to be the reveal. Like, it's very clear that they're kicking this can down the road. I think the earliest we get a reveal is at Extreme Rules. And somebody had pointed out that in, like, the Extreme Rules, like, match graphic of
the lantern.
Rollins, there's a lantern back mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. If he is going to return to Extreme Rules, I think that would be a match that makes a lot of sense. He has a lot of history with Seth Rollins, obviously. He also has history with Matt Riddle's best friend, Randy Orton. That was his last match. Randy Orton basically wrote him out of the company by beating him in that weird WrestleMania match. So it would make sense for him to maybe target Riddle. So I think that
with that said, that graphic is for every match too. So it's
I don't know if that's
it is because I saw it in the background of the Edge and fucking Finn Balor match. So
I think that if he is going to show up during a match at the pay-per-view, I think that's the one that makes the most sense. That's the one with the most links to him. So I would guess that maybe we get that at Extreme Rules. I don't think he shows up before then. And I think this is Bray Wyatt. I don't know who else it could be.
BJ?
I have a question. Mm-hmm. If it's Bray Wyatt, are you less interested than if it was the Fiend character?
No, because
it's going to be a totally different take on Bray Wyatt.
Right, that's what I was thinking, because I don't think, like, I think the Fiend is just done, which is upsetting to me, even if we get a new iteration of Bray Wyatt, which is what I assume it's going to be. Like Mike, I mean, anyone's listened to the show for years knows we did not like Bray Wyatt, and the Fiend character and the Firefly Funhouse stuff just completely changed the perception for me of Bray Wyatt, and I was even more into his matches, the in-ring work. I saw everything was significantly better, and so that in itself, then, if you get rid of the Fiend gimmick, for me, there's a lot then on Bray Wyatt that he now has to live up to and, like, enhance his work where he hasn't even worked for a long time. So it's just a fascinating turn of events for me, as who's now a fan of Bray Wyatt's work, of what it could potentially be, because it could very easily revert back to a part of Bray Wyatt's career that I wasn't into. So I'm a little upset that it's likely that it wouldn't be anything related to the Fiend at all, and that's completely over and done with. Although
I disagree with that.
Lily's still around.
Yeah, I'm gonna say this. I think there will definitely be ties to probably both previous characters. And I think that they'd be foolish not to. From a marketing standpoint, they already had all this stuff in production from titles and toys and all that kind of shit. Then it was like an abrupt departure. And if all of this, since his departure, I think few of the other releases have made such a continued week to week impact of, like, we want him back, motherfucker, more than Bray Wyatt. And I think that showing one how big of a fucking mistake it was to let him go in the first place. But all of the hype around this is the idea of, like, oh, we're finally getting this guy we wanted back. And I love that, because I've always fucking loved Bray Wyatt. It will be different. He is very creative. He prides himself on this aspect of things. So a chance to reinvent yourself, while this was an unintentional, change, I'm sure. He did not expect to be fucking canned. Spend time away and have to come back now that Triple H is in charge. But that can yield you an opportunity that he has to take advantage of this. So I don't think he's going to miss. I just don't think he's going to miss. I have enough confidence in his ability to tell a story, build a character, do all those things. And now with the freedom allotted to him by someone like Triple H, who's going to be like, dude, do this shit. We fucking love it. You know what I mean? So I think it's a perfect opportunity for him to do something really special.
Yeah, I mean, Triple H was the one who initially, when he took over from Husky Harris, Triple H was the one overseeing everything, and Bray Wyatt, okay, yeah, we're going to go through with this character in NXT. So, to me, it's just, I think if you're Triple H, you know for a fact that this type of storyline, everyone's going to assume it's someone like Bray Wyatt. And then when, like Mike said, you go down all the people who might be available, it's like only Bray Wyatt. And then if you introduce someone else, so I pose this question, I think the fans are going to just, repel anything that you introduce if it's not Bray Wyatt. So I think you have to make sure it is, and then I don't think they would go through with it if it wasn't Bray Wyatt coming back. And I think Survivor Series would be a great time because you have this War Games match. But I agree with Mike. Like, if anything, Philadelphia is a great place to do it as well. Extreme Rules.
I don't want it to be part of a match.
Actually, hologram. You know what the best day to do it is? Fucking Halloween on a Monday.
Okay, that would be cool as shit, too.
Because you can kick it for a whole nother month of getting all this speculation. That's why I was originally thinking Survivor Series, but Halloween's on a Monday.
Halloween usually doesn't have great ratings because it's a kind of get-out-of-the-house kind of holiday.
Sure, but the ratings for that show don't matter. It's the ratings for the following week that matter.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Because it would be a surprise.
Yeah, right. And the hype would be through the roof.
And, I mean, it's also Monday Night Football. Like, your ratings are what they are.
Yeah. So. I just want him back. Said that from the beginning. I fucking loved Bray Wyatt from jump. I like the organic build of this. I like the hype. Like I said, they did most of this, not even on TV. They did this through house show music, QR codes in the crowd. You know what I mean? You know what it's doing? It's what I always said I loved about AEW, dude. What are they doing? They're rewarding hardcore fans. And I love that. I really love it. You know, another thing is, I heard them talking about PWG on fucking SmackDown. I need you guys both to answer me this question. Do you believe that Michael Cole is better on commentary now?
No, I think he's...
No, I don't
like Michael Cole. He is 100% fucking... I was right all along about
you
Michael
weren't.
Cole.
I totally disagree.
One of the greatest wrestling commentators ever.
He's really not.
Ever, dude. Ever.
His longevity is up there.
Nope. He's fucking incredible.
Since we were gone, we lost fucking Pat McAfee, by the way.
Yeah
he's still
good. That's still really good, though.
He makes College Game Day, like, a lot better.
So does Bianca Belair.
Corpse of the course,
yeah,
though,
she does.
I'm sorry?
I said so does Bianca Belair.
She did make it. Very good. I agree.
Okay, what's next? My phone died.
Well, we're getting Pat McAfee back, like, end of the year, though,
at least. Survivor Series now, War Games. I'm going to throw it to Mike. Just give me your men's and women's matches.
Okay. First of all, very excited for this. Survivor Series was in dire need of a change.
Mm-hmm.
The last time it felt important at all was when they did Raw versus SmackDown versus NXT, and that was awesome. It felt like the brands mattered because NXT they were trying to elevate it to the level of Raw and SmackDown. And then after that, Vince was like, "Nah, fuck this," and it didn't matter anymore. For the most part, since the brand split, Survivor Series hasn't mattered. Like, we've gotten some cool champion versus champion matches that we wouldn't have gotten otherwise, and that's been fun.
And some really cool moments. What was the year of the Shield? Remember, Rollins was, like, on Team Raw, and Dean was on fucking Team SmackDown?
They all teamed
up
to get Triple Power
Bomb. Yeah, they all fucking were like, dude, someone was fucking with Dean and shit, and someone sent me the clip of that, like, the other day.
I'm not sure.
Man, I was just fucking hype as shit, for just one second, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Mike. Can we just say this? Like, we Maybe. Covered the Shield from day one-ish. And,
yeah,
like, wrestling is run by the Shield.
Damn right.
Just
been run by the
that
Shield.
Fucking shit. We watched and covered and got to, like, truly savor and analyze every moment of the Shield. Mm-hmm. And now, like,
a couple of us were right about, like, the entirety of it.
It's the greatest faction of all time.
I'm not going to say it yet, but I tell you what. It's a lot closer than I thought it would be.
I don't think there's any faction where every member of it went on to this level of success.
Yeah. No.
Usually there's like a fucking X-Pac or something.
I will say in DX and NWO. But I will say this, like NWO, I still see NWO shirts and shit like that. So I don't know. I don't know if it made the cultural impact.
Well,
NWO ever did.
I mean, it's never going to make the cultural impact.
But the truth is, from a wrestling perspective, just the wild success of these three fucking guys is just, it's just looking back one day.
Truthfully, it should have all been WWE, but Vince.
One day, I can't wait for like the shoot video where they all get back together. And now they're all like seven-time champion. They're all like big stars. They're just that table for three gonna be good.
I think Mox is already a seven-time champion over the past month.
Yes. Well, hey, listen, they're getting their shit in, dude. It's not their fault if somebody keeps getting injured, not naming names, CM Punk.
Injury / douchebaggery.
Yeah, dude, the best part is I read a report that somebody's like, oh, CM Punk pretty much admitted that they didn't kick down his door now. It's like, okay, guy. All right, cool, cool fucking story, dude.
Okay, whatever.
You could have guessed that he would act this way.
I couldn't have seen it coming.
Nah. Anyway, before I was so fucking rudely interrupted, Survivor Series during the brand split hasn't felt that important, as you mentioned. There have been cool moments, there have been cool matches, but you have, like, these 5-on-5 elimination matches, and it's like, who the fuck cares? There's no stakes. It's just Raw versus SmackDown, brand supremacy. Like, nobody gives a shit about that. It didn't mean anything. If they were fighting for something, it would have meant something, but they weren't. And a lot of times, there weren't even, like, real rivalries in these matches, because it was guys that were on different brands and weren't even interacting with each other.
Remember, was it the year that draft had, like, just happened?
I think the one you're talking about is 2016.
So the guys, they're like fucking, they just got there.
Yeah, they just got there.
They're just, I was like tag teaming with him fucking 6 weeks ago, now I gotta fight him because we're in different.
It was like a month before, that's what I did it.
That's cool on you.
You know, Survivor Series used to be cool and it used to matter because when you were doing these elimination matches, it was based on rivalries. It was based on hatred, storylines. It was a team led by Hulk Hogan and going against a team against led by Andre the Giant.
Exactly, dude. Like fucking Jerry the King Lawler against fucking Doink, man.
Yeah, that. Exactly. I mean the actual good match.
I mean, some
yeah, you didn't specify it. Jump in.
SmackDown and Shane invaded Raw and Kurt Angle's like his like fucking walkie-talkie.
Yeah, they came in the locker room and beat the fuck.
Yeah, like we had
that's when Natty grabbed Zack Ryder's dick.
Yep, and you know, Becky Lynch wouldn't be Becky Lynch without
getting her nose broken, yep.
Yeah, so.
No doubt there were cool moments, there was no stakes, and there was nothing mattered after these things happened, ever. Mm-hmm. There's going to be repercussions for what happens at Survivor Series this year at War Games, because these matches are going to be built on rivalries, and I'm very excited for that. I guess, okay, you want me to name what I think the War Games matches
absolutely.
Are going to be?
Absolutely, I got an article, right. Dude, next week, I gotta have some ideas.
Well, how about we go around, and we'll do men's and then women's.
All right, you and BJ first.
All right. My men's War Games is Roman Reigns, The Usos, Solo Sikoa, and Sami Zayn against Kevin Owens, Drew McIntyre, I'll say the Street Profits.
Slow down, write this down.
What's that?
I said slow down, I gotta write this down. I got an article. Do you laugh? When this is a legit article, guys, you'll fucking laugh, but they'll be real.
It could be the Street Profits, or it could be New Day. You have to pick a tag team that's going to be facing the Usos until, you know, X amount of time. I'll say the Street Profits.
Madcap and Ricochet have also just got into it with Bloodline, too.
That's
so.
True. Although I really don't want Madcap in the fucking match.
I agree, but they seem to like him a lot.
And then I think the fifth one's tougher, but we did discuss this, BG. I could see it being Logan Paul.
Yeah, that's what we talked about.
But isn't
he's gonna get screwed over?
Isn't it usually 4-on-4 though for WWE? Mm.
I think they've switched it up.
Depends.
I think primarily they've done 4-on-3.
Like they've done like different things. I don't think it really matters right now because you're gonna have they can do whatever they want.
Well,
you have to do 5-on-5 because you're gonna have the Bloodline.
Mm-hmm. Is Roman gonna wrestle?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course, he gets all these other times off. I don't fucking know.
The company.
It's Survivor Series. He wrestles at the tentpole pay-per-views.
Okay, now what about the ladies?
I had one.
You
guys
aren't the same. Oh, you want to do? Oh, no. Go ahead. Yeah.
I agree with Mike and I discussed this when they announced War Games. So I was looking back at our text and I pretty much have that. The only other thing that I mentioned in my message to Mike and George, I don't care about George.
You really fucked up about this, dude.
Was maybe instead of Logan Paul, you call up Carmelo Hayes, who had the run-in with Solo Sikoa, right, and lost championship.
Well,
and
Carmelo.
if he loses at Halloween Havoc, then there's an avenue for him to come up. And he should be on the main roster, as far as I'm concerned. He's outgrown whatever this version of NXT is.
Yeah.
So for the women, I mentioned
Damage. Oh, wait, we didn't get the women yet, motherfucker. You easy. I'm the Anoa'i family against Kevin Owens, Drew, Madcap Moss, Ricochet, and Carmelo Hayes.
There you go.
You're just stealing like partial things.
Not stealing at all. But I am definitely going to have. When this is an article, guys, you think it's a fucking joke? We'll see. You'll see, dude.
I don't think it's a joke.
See you Thursday, 8 a.m. sharp. When that women, Mike.
So I had a thought. It could change now because you have Candice, and if they're going to call up Indy Hartwell, then it would make sense for them to be
five on five
part of that team. So if you do that, then I could see it being Bianca, Asuka, Alexa, Candice, and Indy against Damage Control.
Indy, who else?
No, he's on the baby face team, brother.
I know, I'm just with Candice, that's the one I gotta go.
Damage Control.
Damage Control, which one is? And who's in that?
Maybe like Ronda.
Okay, Ronda. Maybe, you said?
Here's what I would do.
Here's what I have.
Can you just give me a five?
Here's what I would do. I'll just say what I would do really quick. If this is assuming all these people are ready and able to come back, it's the most star power you could potentially have in a match. Bianca, Sasha, Naomi, Becky Lynch, Liv Morgan against Damage Control, Ronda, and Charlotte. Mm-hmm. That would be my ideal.
Mm-hmm. So what if like Asuka and Alexa get taken out by returning Charlotte and Ronda?
Yeah.
And then that's where Sasha and it's, oh my god, what are we gonna do? It's fucking 5-on-3. We're gonna lose, guys. And then fucking Sasha Banks meanders her way down to the ring and barely cares.
That's so stupid. You would have all four horsewomen in this match. You would have Bianca.
No, you wouldn't. Fucking Becky's not in the match. What are you talking about?
I said Becky.
No, he said Becky.
Well, that wouldn't make any sense. She's not back yet.
How do you know when she's gonna be back? Mike
was saying his ideal scenario.
Oh, his ideal. Well, because he's wrong, yeah. Though. He's stupid.
So I'll tell you what I had mentioned. Totally different from the men's. Because Damage Control is three people. Bianca, Asuka, and Alexa, three people. Ronda, Shayna, and Natty, three people. And then Liv, Raquel, and Shotzi, who's been feuding with them. And you just have four tag teams of three. Switch it up.
They could do that. I mean, they did the one year, like, three teams of three in NXT.
Mm-hmm. Huh. There was, like, Roddy and Authors of Pain, I think, or something.
Yep. There's many intriguing options.
So that's why there's different – with War Games, you could do different shit. So to me, if you already have a 5-on-5 with the Bloodline match, do something different with the women's match and don't just do the same thing. Because
it makes it feel like a Survivor Series match, though. 10 people.
I know that, but like
I'm just saying, so
that's
you
what
they
tie
it in a bit
with Survivor Series, where it's like you're watching two of the same type of match, and you have to try to do different shit. But if you have it in a different style, where it's like three teams,
that was never a problem for me. It's all about telling stories. So it shouldn't I don't care if I see the same spots. It's about telling individualized stories in each match.
I get that.
We could see it in two women's ladder match and a men's ladder match. We get entirely different things.
I mean, listen, the whole thing with. Candice LeRae being back totally throws out what I said because this was like 2 weeks ago. So, I mean, you could have Nikki, maybe she joins Damage Control as fucking crazy. Like, you know, now she's all deranged and she has reeled in and Bayley can kind of use her for the match. Being like, Nikki Cross is fucking crazy. Let's go get her.
That's not a bad idea either. I'll consider for my article.
The beauty of this whole situation is getting brand versus brand, regular Survivor Series would be like, well, the women's team on SmackDown is going to have to be Raquel, fucking Liv Morgan, Xia Li, and Lacey Evans, because that's who's on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. Now, you can do almost anything, and that's what makes it so much more exciting.
And the thing with this is, I just think it's another sign that the brand split is going away. And that's what's most important to me, because we have so many people going back and forth on different shows, it's time to just fucking end this shit.
And I think they've been slowly doing that for a while, by unifying some of the championships. Now you have, Sami Zayn just randomly showed up on Raw. Mm-hmm. Braun Strowman's going to randomly be on Raw next week.
Hell yeah.
They're really not adhering to it at all.
Right. And so I just think get the shit over and done with already. End it. And if you ever want to go back to it, hey, we're going to do a draft. Everyone's more excited.
Well, I still think they're going to do a draft. They already have that scheduled, don't they?
Not that they've announced. There's been lies.
I believe them, buddy. Extreme Rules card confirmed for Philadelphia. Should I go? How much are tickets? Can you StubHub me real quick, BJ, while I run through this?
Sure.
Cheapest possible. I don't give a shit. Cheapest possible. Bianca Belair versus Bayley in a ladder match. It looks like we're getting stips for fucking most matches here. So
we're getting extreme
rules.
Stipulations for all matches and Extreme Rules. Wow, that's crazy.
It is stunning.
This is on Saturday, by the way.
Oh, What's the date on it?
You need to fucking stare at this point.
I'm not going to be in Philadelphia on the 8th.
How many tickets
so
did you want?
I'm not going to
be
here.
You're never in Philadelphia.
I mean, that's true. Fucking fuck that city.
I mean, I'm
going to
be there anyway.
Yeah. So, dude, I like not being murdered. It's a fun little thing I do. No, I'll be at the mountains for my birthday. Bianca, so Alan, how much are tickets be for cheap though?
You just told me not to fucking look at it.
Well, I thought you were still there. By the way, it's all coming back to me.
Buy them just to have one.
Let me say this to you and I'll say this out loud. If you're in the Philadelphia area and you'd like to go, reach out to Vic and Don Bellagio. He actually offered me 2 tickets. I had to turn them down. I'm remembering all this now.
Wait.
How many tickets?
So you knew that you were offered tickets and had to turn them down because you had to go somewhere else and you're asking BG right now to look up the tickets because you thought about going?
No.
It's really fucking stupid.
How many brain cells do you have left?
I mean,
no, it was AEW. Vicken has tickets to AEW in Philadelphia.
So you get your false information here.
I also cannot go to it. How much is it?
They have 2 tickets for $41 each.
Nah, no thanks, dude. Fuck that noise. Plus parking's $22. Fuck that. You're talking about $175 night, $200 night. No thanks.
That's what going out is today.
No matter what you fucking do.
That's like going to the grocery store, you know?
No. And no to you. I'm not doing it. I'll go somewhere else. We'll go get McDonald's and sit in the car by the lake.
Are we going to get an adult Happy Meal?
Live more. Yeah, hell yeah, dude.
Did you see that's a thing now?
No, I didn't. Is that real?
The toy?
It does. It comes up like a weird fucking toy. It's like mutated looking version. It's in collaboration with some clothing brand. It's like mutated looking versions of
this is breaking news.
Grimace and Hamburglar. You get either a Big Mac and a fry and a drink or a 10-piece McNugget and a fry and a drink.
So you're getting that shit anyway. You might as well get the adult big, the
exactly.
kid, adult kids meal.
Adult Happy Meal.
Holy shit.
How come you didn't say adult Happy Meal?
I don't know. I don't order McDonald's. I don't go to takeout ever. So it's not really.
You just said, you're the one who just said it.
But what?
You said you were going to go to
you
McDonald's.
Said you were
it was a
go
joke.
To
it's a trope. It's something that
usually
I use in my comedy.
You can't joke about that because everyone assumes you eat McDonald's.
Usually a joke is funny.
I don't.
When you're fat like that, I mean.
Honestly, it's mostly beer that made me this way. Liv Morgan and Ronda Rousey, Extreme Rules match. Seth Rollins, Matt Riddle on the fight pit. Edge versus Finn Balor in the I Quit match. Edge stays returning, this fucking guy. He's got to return once a month.
Can't put him down. He doesn't quit.
He does. He doesn't need. Doesn't it feel like this motherfucker said 3 returns?
I love it. Yeah.
He said 3 returns since he returned.
Like in the summer.
Drew McIntyre versus Karrion Kross in a strap match. I hate strap matches, but.
I know. I was thinking the same thing. Like, they better make this fucking good.
I think Triple H.
There better be green lights and red lights.
No,
there
better be
green light. No, there's not. There's just Pitbull.
And that's all they do is beat the fuck out of each other.
If you hit,
that is what they're gonna do.
Shit, I got it. Pitbull comes down, does the green light, red light.
SmackDown was terrible.
Yeah.
The fireball was like way off target.
They need to learn. Every company needs to learn now. Stop doing this shit.
No. Just do it right. I love it. I've always loved
it.
I think it's fantastic. No, the magician Chris Jericho did it perfectly.
He fucked it up a couple times too.
Well, that's a couple times, but that one time in the backstage area.
Well, when you do it 10 times, eventually you gotta get one.
Yeah, hell yeah. Hey, it's my wife. Crown Jewel.
Main events this card. Ronda Rousey winning the championship or Bianca or Bayley winning the championship? Ladder match?
Bianca and Bayley, I think, should be the main event.
No, I think
agree with that.
Ronda Rousey's gonna win the title, so I think it's gonna be Ronda Rousey main event.
Yeah, I think
it's but it's gonna be a fuck finish.
I don't
even
think
it's
going to be
fair to get her form in her little stable.
I mean, you can say whatever you want, but even then I'd have them standing tall in the night.
Yeah,
I'd have them standing tall in the night.
They have Bianca win, they want to have their babyface standing tall.
I mean, it's just a title defense.
It's also the far better and more important feud.
Mm-hmm. I could see Bayley winning that match.
It's possible.
I don't. I do
it
not.
It seems a little early to end Bianca's reign to me, though.
Yeah, you'd have to have some fucking big things going on there. And Logan Paul's getting a shot at the title, at Crown Jewel. Blood money, feud over here.
Good one.
Thanks.
First of all, I want to say for Extreme Rules, the card looks amazing. Match I'm mostly looking forward to, Seth Rollins and Matt Riddle in the fight pit, just because I love that match stipulation. The 2 times they did it in NXT, it was absolutely awesome. So this match should be incredible.
Are you just going to ignore Owen Hart and fucking Ken Shamrock, or? What?
That was Alliance then.
Great.
I mean, what's the fucking difference? What's the fucking difference? Just square?
Page is different.
Okay. Yeah, not really, though. It's the same premise.
Not really.
as for Roman Reigns against Logan Paul, I could see why some people might not like it. To me, I'm fine with it because, like, it's Crown Jewel. It's like a rant. It's like not
it's a blood like a, money fucking pay per view. Like I just
it's
said,
it's not a regular pay per view. If you're going to do an attraction match like this, like they've done it in the past, you know, having like legends and stuff.
Yeah, it's Muhammad Ali in there with fucking somebody.
I'm totally fine with doing it here if you're going to do it at all. Roman Reigns is obviously going to win. You get to showcase Logan Paul, see what he can do. I'm sure he's going to do well because he has done well his first two matches. And I think it'll be entertaining, so I'm fine with it.
BJ, you love Logan Paul and the YouTubes. Your thoughts?
No, I do not like Logan Paul. I do like the YouTubes. Mm-hmm. Very, very good. YouTube, good product. But Logan Paul I do not like as a human. But I will say that his two matches in wrestling have been fucking great. And so
They're
fine. Every match Roman Reigns has.
Right. And so,
Snooze Fest.
No
won't be watching.
Match. It is just an attraction match. I have no problem with it. I think it's going to be very entertaining. My thing that just irritates me as a fan is you've announced Roman Reigns, your undisputed WWE Universal Champion, for the following show. When we still have a show coming up. And it's like, why isn't he on this show? And so I just, as a fan, hate that shit.
That's what it is, dude. You just gotta get over it.
I don't like it.
You gotta get over it.
I guess the way you gotta equate it, if anything, is like, it's like,
it's not like you.
Conor McGregor's having a fight two pay-per-views from now.
Yeah,
it's not like that. It's not like that at all, though.
It is, though.
It's not.
Yes, it is. He's fucking, he could still be recovering. He's still be
pro wrestling.
And he's also, he literally acknowledges the fact that his contract has him only doing limited dates.
I don't care.
So he, even in storyline premises, fucking annoying. Him and Paul Heyman have contracted this to happen.
What I'm saying is, you
save he's head of the table. He doesn't work every month.
Save the announcement for after Extreme Rules.
And
I understand why it is because they're in a fucking.
If you understand,
site,
why don't you just shut the fuck
annoying.
Up about it then?
What?
I said, if you understand, why don't you just shut the fuck up about it then?
Because I said it's irritating to me.
Guys, I don't want you guys.
You know what's irritating to me? You.
You.
Patreon shoutouts, guys. Anything else about WWE?
A lot happened. I'm
that was
like,
probably the best Raw that they've had in a very long time. I mean, they stacked it. To me, I don't need these like extreme, like huge pay-per-view quality matches throughout every single show because then the pay-per-view quality matches on pay-per-view are not as special to me. Like, all this doesn't need to be going through a fucking table in the middle of Raw.
Bro, are you turning? Oh my god.
I'm just saying.
What is happening?
But
you just
really
said
good.
You don't want.
AJ
you're
Styles.
Like, I don't need too much good wrestling.
It's,
like, give me all the good
I'm
wrestling,
saying,
dude. Every match should be good. Every match should be
a
like
way that,
fucking.
Yeah, but there's a way to do it where you're not going through like three fucking commercial breaks and every single thing needs to be 30 minutes or whatever.
Man, you are just fickle.
But
Daniel Bryan was fucking right about you, dude.
I've always.
I hate how good wrestling is right now.
That's not what I'm saying at all.
Top to bottom, it's probably the best it's ever been. But I hate it.
Mm-mm. There's ways to go about things where it's still very good.
Yeah. BJ?
But Sami Zayn and AJ Styles is great.
Mike, anything else? Yeah, I agree with that.
AJ flipping off Finn Balor?
Yeah. Damian Priest's facial? Huh?
Like, yeah, are we going to get, like, AJ and Edge teaming up? Like, it was kind of like a rock and sock connection. Like, they started the year as fucking enemies, and now they just become friends.
I could see him wanting to do that. Edge definitely has an agenda of people he wants to work with and things he wants to do. So,
well, he knew Finn Balor's singles match was on there. He's ticking that off.
Damn right it was. You say,
it should have happened at SummerSlam.
Beth Phoenix talked about sending a picture out from them in like 2018 from NXT or 2019 at NXT. So,
it's gonna be awesome.
They're ready for him. Anything else about WWE? No,
it's good. Keep being good.
Patreon shout outs. I'll start. We'll go round table. Our buddy George Cruz. We can't do this show without George Cruz. Everybody out there, you thank George Cruz because without him, we probably wouldn't do this anymore.
He's a fucking bully.
He's not a bully. You're a bully. Alex Pandolfi. You don't hear much from Alex Pandolfi, everybody, but he's a huge driving force behind the show as well. He just does not care about us. It's weird. It's a weird dichotomy.
He'd rather be doing anything.
He
else.
Loves us, but does not like us. So it's like my mother.
I love us, but don't like you. Does that make sense?
Joe Dundovich, another big fucking fan of the show. He, like, literally, he's a huge fat man. It's unbelievable.
That's not true at all. True.
Joe Dundo. It's not. I literally don't know. Is Dundo a big fatty or is he a thin man?
He's not. But he used the, like, correct things. Like, isn't he the one that wears, oh no, it's not him. I'm not gonna say
it.
I don't
want
to
him
yeah, you're about to fucking shit on his shoes.
That's EJ Munn wears the toe shoes.
Yeah, I talk to him often via text message. And he's always, this is always jizzing right over there.
Sorry, Joey Dundo, I didn't mean to suggest such an awful thing.
Guys, I think I'm now Joey Dundo's favorite.
Well, Joey Dundo is the fucking doctor, right? He's a doctor?
I think
he's a football coach.
Reggie Gill, I know, hey, listen, I know what Reggie Gill is. Fat.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is. He's disgusting. You need to look really in the mirror, Reggie. You're fat. Reggie. You're disgusting, Reggie. This is why no one sticks around, man. This is why you're alone. TJ McAloon. Speaking of disgusting, could you imagine letting someone decorate your Christmas tree? Yeah, it's almost that. I wonder if during Halloween.
For Halloween. Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if during Halloween he brings someone in to be like, "Can you make my yard look like a graveyard? Thanks so much, my kids."
He thinks that they're putting big spider webs, but they're just jizzing on his bushes.
Yeah, that's right.
Holy shit.
Yeah, seriously. There's a bunch of crackheads he hired, and they're like fucking just like, "Yeah, sure, man. What the fuck ever." They're just stealing actual headstones from fucking graveyards.
The eyeballs in the bowl are real eyeballs.
Yeah. I gave you one of mine, man. You gave me $85. Fuck, you make, how you get all this money, man? But send us more, TJ. Andrew Skeens, top-notch lawyer. Are you in trouble between the hours of like 9:15 and 3:45? Then, and are you in West Virginia?
You're fucked right now, man.
Yeah, damn right you are. It's 3:47. I simply cannot answer that phone. I will set a negative precedent, and they will continue to call me, and I will not answer this phone.
It's crazy. It's so real.
It's so real, dude. That's why I very much do not want to get arrested in West Virginia. Or anywhere. Or anywhere, really.
He definitely wouldn't even pick up your phone call.
Oh, my God. Donnie, yeah, right. Can you imagine that judge sees his long hair, my long hair, both of us in ill-fitting suits from Men's Warehouse?
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. They're going to fry you. He's like, they're going to fry you. Jim Del Chapio, he's a very old man, but we appreciate him staying up late to talk to us sometimes. He just moved into a very fancy house in a place called Amityville. It's gorgeous.
Oh,
it's gorgeous.
Amityville Horror, that's crazy. Yeah. He's got two dens.
He's got two dens. He ran from one den to the other just to mock us. Alex Contreras, very nice man. I don't know why he doesn't do more audio things with us. Maybe it's he hates Brandon Galvin.
He sends lots of emails.
So I'll start a little grassroots campaign right now. He hates Brandon Galvin.
Yeah,
Bronco, the white Bronco. He's very, very fun. He's very cool. We high five often.
I agree. He has good opinions.
Vic and Kay Dombalagian. Tried to give me seats to AEW. I cannot go. So I was sorry for that, but if you're in Philadelphia and you want to buy some seats from Vickin, they are good seats. And Vickin
is
Ishida
going to be there?
Is a good man. I'm not sure, but Ishida fan will be.
Wait, why is he selling the tickets then?
No, so what I realize is he will buy
the scalper.
Like, no, he'll do like front row seats. He'll put himself on like a front row seat list or something, and then he buys the seats that if he doesn't get those, he tries to sell the other ones. If he gets them. So he got like front row seats for fucking Philly.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah. So now he's got like two fucking seats in like the risers, which that's where I like sitting anyway. Of all the places that I've sat for wrestling shows, on the risers is nice because you got a nice clear view over all the fucking mouth.
I like sitting in the 100 level, quote unquote.
Yeah, the risers, right? That's the first level of seats on an angle.
Right, where they're elevated.
Yeah. That's what risers means, you fucking cuck.
Well,
Vince D'Amore.
Most arenas, they have 100 level, 200 level, 300 level.
Vince D'Amore, very nice guy. Also a lawyer. I got him on retainer for when everything finally explodes on me. A lot of things explode on me.
What's going to explode on you?
Nice.
A lot. What hasn't, right? You boys know. BJ Patreon?
Yeah. Sign up patreon.com/ringrustradio so Donnie can say your name incorrectly or belittle you. You can also hear the ad-free version of our podcast and retro reviews, such as the Slammin' Salmon.
It's a good. It was fine. Why did you hate
terrible.
It? It wasn't
it's
terrible.
It really has no bearing on wrestling whatsoever. We gotta start cracking down on George Cruz, I think.
George is
getting
menace.
Too big for his britches.
I love it. I love his confidence. I love his attitude. And if he tells me to watch a movie, I'm just like, yes, sir. How fucking long is it?
Mm-hmm. But more importantly, you can sign up for our best horror movie ever bracket taking place Tuesday, October 18th at 6 p.m. Eastern.
That's the day after my birthday. I'm going to get lit. during that fuck. Is that cool to say wild. Still? Nope. I'm gonna get fucked. I'm cool when you. I'm gonna be smoking fire. I'm gonna get fucking
you
lit.
Smoke fire.
Yeah. Yep.
Fire.
Yeah. Fire. I'm very Caucasian. All right, let's move on.
You just suck.
Scoop, scoop, per sauce, there's a feeling that it's interesting to note. Deadsheet Busters! If there's something strange in the latest report, who you gonna call? Deadsheet Busters! If it's an egregious lie, and anonymous is sourced, who you gonna call? Deadsheet Busters! I ain't afraid of no lies. I ain't printing a retraction. Dirt Sheet Busters! Hey guys, time for Dirt Sheet Busters, Mike! It's like we go away, and they're like, let's have some fun, y'all.
Well, you know...
If you baseline this, if you baseline this one, I'm gonna fucking wail on you.
I had a lot to know. No, there's no baseline. not this week, at least. I had to sift through a lot this week. but the beauty of it is, when you don't have a quote-unquote live show for 2 weeks in a row, you have enough time to come back to reports that come out, and then they're also discredited by the time you get to them.
Oh shit! So we don't even we don't have to worry about waiting.
Exactly. That's the beauty of what we have today, for the most part. I'm gonna start though with WrestleVotes. WrestleVotes knows nothing about the White Rabbit.
Oh.
Shock.
Fucking morons.
Ask the source about the White Rabbit.
It's me, bud. Take it easy.
Source said while we suspect it's Bray Wyatt, he said it's being quote unquote withheld from everyone. WWE's been able to draw significant interest from this without it being a TV storyline, and they'd like to keep it as quiet as possible. With help from everyone.
I would assume that...
That's true. I think some people know.
I would assume that maybe the people involved know.
Sure. I would say that's definite.
Yeah. I mean, somebody created that fucking website.
Exactly. Somebody has to know. I think it's Bray Wyatt, but we don't know for sure. Thanks. That's what everybody thinks.
Seriously, we're all... Okay, well, at least we're on the same page.
This is from Wrestling Observer Newsletter. Wrestlers ask for their AEW release. Hope you don't want to know who.
Oh, I thought you were going to say psych because they're not allowed to have them.
I hope you don't want to know who. AEW sent an email to WWE co-CEOs Nick Khan and Stephanie McMahon warning them not to tamper with their tail. This is, like, so funny to me.
Why?
Could you imagine, like, the huge fucking belly laughs that were coming out of Titan Towers after that?
Please, it's yo, and then WWE sending cease and desist fucking letters to AEW for like having a truck in front of the building that one time. Come on, dude, this is how business works. They're petty as shit, both companies.
According to Wrestling Observer Newsletter, Dave Meltzer reported that besides Malakai Black, there were other AEW stars who had asked for the release from the company. Here's the direct quote from Meltz: "Black was not the only person to ask for his release at the time."
That's it. Guys, I don't have a lot of time to hang out today, so I'm just going to give a couple one-word answers. Is that cool?
No.
Yeah, how's that? What's the feeling in the locker room, Bill Belichick? Good.
I mean, that's what he always does.
I know, that's what I'm saying. It feels like Bill Belichick.
Not the only person. How could you tell me it's not the only person and then not elaborate at all?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No need to. How else am I going to get you to wildly speculate on the internet?
Good point. You guys ready for honorary Dirt Sheet Buster of the Week?
Is it Aleister Black?
Wait a little while.
Okay. Because did you watch the whole video?
Yes.
Okay, I watched the whole.
I don't know if it was the full thing, but
I watched the entire fucking video, and it is a lot. If you're Dave Meltzer.
the first honorary Dirt Sheet Buster of the Week is Graham GSM Matthews.
Hell yeah!
Hey!
Oh, long time friend of the show.
Wrestling writer. Many years ago, he was on the show as a guest.
I met Graham.
And I will say this to you. I have known Graham for a long time, and he's genuinely a really good person.
Yeah.
I really mean that.
Well,
in a world, in a business where everybody's
friend
a fucking
of the show.
Bill Bahati, He's Bill Minotti. He's not that guy.
Bill Minotti. Got it. Okay. So
right, hold on real quick. This is going to be a little bit inside baseball, but I got to tell you, Mike, I had to go on to Twitter, and since I quit mine, I had to sign on to Ring Rust Radio account to get to what I needed. And I found out that we are somehow following Brad Shepard, or someone retweeted Brad Shepard. And Brad Shepard and Bill Bahati are now a duo.
Yeah, I thought I had, like, seen that they're kind of, like, working together.
They got a podcast Brad's a hobby. Together.
I like to call it the Axis Powers.
I'd like to call them a fucking... Oh, my God. I got some... Never mind. Never mind on that one, because I don't... They'll hear it, and they'll be like, oh, I'm going to fucking come get you at fucking next Comic-Con. You're going to see me, you fucking dweeb.
We're gonna talk to each other.
Yes, seriously, man. How red my hand would be from slapping fucking Fightful Dude and fucking Bill Bahati. I'd fucking have to use the other hand. They'd be fucking so tired.
What's that?
Bunch of bitches. Go ahead.
This is a very interesting one. I'll start off with this report. NXT officially ditched the colorful logo, and this isn't necessarily from Graham yet.
Okay.
NXT officially ditched the colorful logo following a one-year anniversary of NXT 2.0, reverting to a new version of the black and gold logo. No, they didn't. They reverted to a gold and white logo.
Yeah, it definitely looks like the 2.0 logo, just with different colors.
More shiny.
This marked the conclusion of that era, with the new one kicking off the brand's latest broadcast. That will be accompanied by further changes to the brand per Dave Meltzer. Meltzer notes that with NXT officially ridding itself of its 2.0 moniker, current and future developmental performers will have a limited amount of time to become good enough before their future is decided. Here's
Jesus Christ, dude. NXT You've got, the, it feels like the, what's the movie where they shoot you? The Squid Games? You're either good at wrestling by the time I say red light or I shoot you in the face.
It's a great show.
I don't know.
I never saw it
in my life. I just, there's been so many references to it now that I understand the show.
NXT has officially dropped the 2.0 out of their name. There's also a new doctrine in NXT.
Ooh.
The Monroe Doctrine!
Doctrine! Give me some news!
It was said to be a new rule, but may be a strong recommendation as opposed to being a hard and fast rule that everyone who is signed from this point forward, as well as those who have started out, has 2 years to become quote-unquote good enough to make NXT television, or they will be cut. It was noted that a lot of people right now are on the clock. Okay. So there's
a little
from outside. I mean, honestly, that's just how things work, though.
Yeah. Listen, 2 years is a good amount of time.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair.
Honestly, if you're in the NFL, they're like, you got 10 minutes to show me you're good, or we're going to fucking cut you.
Remember Lars Sullivan? We heard, like, 7 years before he showed up on TV how big his hands were from Meltz.
Way too much time.
And then he finally fucking showed up and got built up.
I love Lars Sullivan. I hope they re-sign him.
Do you? Yeah. Okay, that's a bad thing to say.
I don't know. Listen, dude, he can do whatever he wants. Sexually, he can do whatever he wants. It's not my problem.
That's not what it's about.
It's
got a lot of racist, misogynistic things.
But did you see the way the light was behind him?
I saw. Make him eat glass.
I was like, listen, there's nothing I like more, baby, than getting drunk and eating ass.
That segment on SmackDown was insane.
I can't believe it. I really, 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 and I mean this. Okay, if you take out the racist shit, you take all that other stuff aside.
You take out all these awful things.
I really do want to see that.
Why? You take away the murder and ultimately.
Listen, I really just want to see how that storyline would have unfolded if done properly.
Not good.
That's sugar, it's just somebody eating sugar glass, like. Although the spot, hold on, the spot.
Told him,
that's what I was gonna say. The spot of like having sugar glass in someone's mouth and then like Lars Sullivan, first super kick of his life, he kicks the fucking shit in his mouth. Like, come on, dude. Come on, dude.
So Meltz quote unquote reported this, and then I see. Our good buddy Graham GSM Matthews, who I follow on Twitter, I saw a tweet from him. Hey Dave, the 2 year up or you're out NXT rule came from my interview with WWE SVP James Kimball, released earlier this week.
Oh!
I was just curious if that's where you saw it first before including it in the latest newsletter. Thank you.
Oh, that's nice.
Thank you!
Oh, shit. Yo, Graham had a fucking bow and arrow. He pulled it back. He's like, hey, Dave, come over here for a fucking second. Oh, yo, look. Boom! Thank you! Boom!
Dave's response, you know, a normal response would be to show remorse. Perhaps?
No. You gotta double down and accuse him of stealing it. You had it first!
Well, here's what Dave said. It was told to me early last week. Didn't know WWE said it publicly. Was given to me as something new through those in developmental. This is beautiful for a couple of reasons. First of all, it was given to him early last week, yet he didn't report it until after Graham already published this thing. That's strange.
Yep,
also, also, Graham saying his interview released earlier this week, and then Dave's like, it was told to me early last week.
Yeah, of course.
Whole week early.
Changed it on you.
I'm sure, but you just reported it today. That's pretty weird.
I wonder why his wife left.
I think it's the state of his room.
I think it's like, baby, can you grab your coat? You said you would have. I didn't say that. You said you wanted me to grab my coat, but I didn't think it was cold enough outside.
I grabbed it last week.
It's like, I just grab your coat! I'm leaving and I'm taking the kids!
So it's pretty clear that
Dave stole something and got called out for it and then did the old runaround.
Mm-hmm. The newsletter typically comes out on Wednesdays, right?
No.
Is there a dragon in your house? What is that noise?
That was a motorcycle.
A dragon?
Did it sound like a dragon? It was like...
Dragon? No, it was a motorcycle.
It was with the head of a macho man.
So, Graham's video came out on September 20th. Which was last Tuesday.
Oof.
And Meltzer's...
That's a long time ago!
Meltzer's newsletter, I believe, comes out on Wednesdays. And then the tweets that are being referenced here...
Before that.
Right. Well, the tweets that are being referenced here are from the 25th.
Yeah, after the newsletter.
So he's saying... Right. So Graham reached out. Meltzer's saying that early last week, meaning... Like, around the time that Grant posted his video, I guess, is what he's trying to say.
Yeah, and then he's basically saying that, while he could have said it on the 5,500 shows that he does every day, he decided to withhold it until he got to the newsletter where he could bury it within the 75,000 words, thinking that he could get away with it.
So many incredible scoops that he's got to save some, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's pretty interesting. I also think that if I could high-five Graham, I'd high-five him for taking Dave down a peg or two.
And then Graham had said, like, thanks for the clarification, but he didn't really mean that.
What's interesting, though, is, like, you know, Graham, awesome. We love him, okay? He is a legit reporter. Right, he has interviews, all the stuff. Dave Meltzer has been doing this for, what, like 30 fucking 40 years?
Mm-hmm.
And you would think then he also has some contacts at WWE. So he could have just, like, hit up the SVP of Talent Operations and Strategy, Chase Kimball, just like Graham did.
No.
Nah.
Absolutely not. That would take time and effort that I simply have to invest in watching All Japan's 30th anniversary show, you cuck.
Okay, so we had Graham GSM Matthews' honorary Dirt Sheet Buster of the Week. I have another honorary Dirt Sheet Buster of the Week.
Mm.
It's his cousin, Buddy Matthews.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness.
His Australian cousin. Matthews recently said that he'll be taking time off. It was even said that WWE contacted him. According to Dave Meltzer on Wrestling Observer Radio, it was noted that Matthews wants to return to WWE. Here's a quote. He was on a show in Rhode Island last night and said that he needed to step away and recalibrate, and he even mentioned Malachi Black. It was very similar wording to what Malachi Black said when he did that independent show a week or two ago. It's the same situation. How it's being handled and what's going to happen is up in the air. But he's gone for now. Obviously, like Malachi Black, they both wanted to leave and they want to go to WWE. They're both under long-term contracts, and we'll see how this plays out. Buddy Matthews took to Twitter, and he posted a GIF to Elaine Benes. Seinfeld fame when she's at the restaurant talking about all the time she faked her orgasms with Jerry Seinfeld, and it says fake. That's the gift.
I don't get it.
It's fake.
I don't get the reference. Oh, okay. So that I do get.
Yeah.
Buddy Murphy, very talented.
Yeah.
That's all. You want to keep going, or you want to just...
Sure, you want another honorary
drown
in... Through the week?
Please.
Soraya, a.k.a. Paige.
Is that how you say it? She told everybody how to yell it, and I didn't listen.
Yeah, she kept saying Soraya, I think.
Soraya.
Right?
Yeah.
Soraya.
I always said Soraya.
I don't say Soraya, she'll get mad.
Oh, okay. My bad.
Soraya.
According to Wrestling Observer Newsletter, Soraya is still not clear for in-ring action.
It's a cool name.
It is a cool name. There's no answer to the question as to what role she will play, if she will wrestle regularly, sparingly, or not at all. She got an enormous surprise pop with these types of things. Always get that reaction. Muda got a similar gigantic pop. This is Melt, by the way.
I was going to say, this is like some fucking editorializing, like crazy, dude. What are you doing here?
Her pop was a lot bigger. But
okay. Yeah, it's way bigger than fucking
Muda's. I
feel
like he's just trying to undermine Soraya.
Yeah, I do,
probably
too.
Trying to undermine anyone who's a woman. Pops and surprises are cool, but their long-term value is nil if they cost a lot of money. If she's going to wrestle and go at her prior level, she would be a good addition. But it was notable in her run-in, she didn't touch anyone. And with WWE, not only was she not allowed to wrestle, but nobody was allowed to touch her. We were told that she had not been cleared as of very recently, which would explain not touching anyone, but would like to be cleared. She's refereeing for her family's WAW promotion in a few weeks. So there's that report.
I totally disagree with Melt saying that she has to wrestle to be a fucking attraction.
She's
fucking awesome.
She's already generated.
She was amazing.
Yeah, and she was also generating legitimate excitement for the product.
Yeah,
like, totally, what is she going to
totally
do?
Wrong.
Yeah, you're not in one way is he correct about this. No. Mike, it almost lends credence to what you said, that maybe he hates Goyles.
Who would have thought?
Maybe his star ratings. I don't know.
I would say that his hatred for women started when his wife left him, but he used to say awful things about, like, Sable and shit all the time.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. Oh. I think it's just...
I think it's deep-seated. I think it's like a Dahmer situation.
No, I don't think it's a Dahmer situation, because that was just his, you know, his sexual frustrations and stuff like that. I think it's more of, like, an incel kind of thing. Dave was, like, one of the original incels.
Could be.
Oh.
So we have that report, and then Soraya, Soraya on Twitter said, ignore the dirt sheet clickbait. See you Wednesday, hashtag AEW Dynamite.
Ooh, fucking damn.
I hope she immediately
wrestles
gets into a fight.
I hope she walks out.
Someone just immediately touches her.
Yeah.
They just like, you know, touch her arm.
Yeah, that's where I want them to touch.
I'm just saying.
They're going to do the I'm not touching you, actually.
Yeah, I'm not touching you. Look, I'm not touching you.
Oh, my God. I would punch you in the fucking face.
The worst
face.
Thing ever.
No, the worst thing ever is when someone's like, here's the remote, and they pull it away, like, ah, you want it? I'll just shoot on you. I swear to God, I'll just shoot on you where you stand. I'll take you down and grab the fucking
remote. Or how about, like, if somebody copies you?
That's my kids, that doesn't, I just.
It can get bad after a while.
Bro, you just say a couple supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, you throw them off the fucking show.
Up, and then, or it's like, okay, I won, it's over. And then they'll just keep copying you after that. But you already
copy
lost.
Them.
You
copy them, wrong. Dude. Copy them. Fuck them all up.
I don't care, then they'll still do it.
Then punch them in the mouth. What do you want me to say to you?
That's not the answer.
Next one.
Violence is never the answer.
That's not true.
Ready for the coup de grace?
That's why you watch wrestling.
Yeah, please. Yeah, seriously.
It is our fourth honorary Dirt Sheet Buster of the Week, Malachi Black.
Yo, I like, hold on, real quick. I like how when I ask the friends for help with smarks, I'm lazy, but you have all these other people doing your job this week, but I'm the lazy one. Like, fuck off, bro.
I can't help it. We just left too much time on the clock for them to fucking stink
everywhere. No, the best part is we took a week off and the troops rallied. They're like, nah, fuck this shit. The big bats ain't in the lineup, but we can still win games.
According to Sean Sack behind Fightful's paywall.
It will never get old. Because I can hear the pathetic disdain in his fucking writing, dude.
I like it. Malachi Black was granted an early release from AEW courtesy of Tony Khan. It was noted that the release is highly conditional, which isn't usually the case for AEW. AEW usually doesn't even release talent outside of disciplinary reasons, and requests for releases are done on a case-by-case basis. Here's the report. Numerous talent informed us that they've been told that Malachi Black is done with the company for the foreseeable future. Many saying he got his release. AEW sources claim that the release is highly conditional, which isn't usually the case for the company. Usually AEW doesn't even release talent outside of disciplinary reasons, blah, blah, blah. We're told by many in the company that Tony Khan specifically wanted to retain Black and hoped to see him part of the brand for years to come. No shit. There were efforts to have conversations to salvage a working relationship that AEW believed were fruitful. However, we're told that a meeting took place sometime recently, and it was decided that if Black wanted out, they should probably allow it. Talent are of the belief that there are heavy restrictions on Black, and there may be more to the agreement, including conditions that would prevent him from wrestling anywhere, anytime soon. Okay. Well, Aleister Black. Malakai Black? I don't know, maybe.
For me?
So there was like a door opening.
Yeah. No, it was like one of my children slamming a door in the fucking other side of the house, which is fucking incredible. How mad that. Right, talk about something that makes you fucking mad. It's like, motherfucker, that door ain't free!
Black started an Instagram live session for his millions of followers. During the session, he said he still has not left the company. It appears that it was another rumor that started and got out of hand. The AEW star says in a clip from the live stream that there's no conspiracy. He's just enjoying some time off before returning and reappearing in AEW programming once again. Star also said he's going to be back in AEW. This pretty much goes contrary to what is so far reported material about Malakai Black's release. He said a lot of things.
He said a lot of things in that fucking short time. He was very much emotional as well about
all of this. All this bullshit, people saying 5 years on my contract, 5 years on my contract. There's never been 5 years on my contract. By the way, Tony Khan is the one that said
that. And by the way, hold on a minute. So I went and fact-checked that because that's what everybody's been going around. He has a 3-year contract with a 2-year option. That's your 5-year contract. It's the same contract that Miro had.
Where did you see that?
That was a report. That is not a report. It was a conversation with Aleister Black and Sports Illustrated with Justin Barrasso.
Okay, well, and that's legitimate. So that would mean...
But the two years is an option. Exactly.
So he basically said if these dirt sheets are getting all this wrong, then they have no fucking idea what's actually going on with my life and my contract and what I'm doing and all this other shit, and how it's bullshit and how he shouldn't even have to do this. But there's all this misinformation out there. Said that he's taking some time off to recalibrate, deal with stuff in his personal life, and that he's going to be back in AEW at some point. He did say that he asked for his release in a statement on Instagram, but he never in that statement said that he was granted his release, and he confirmed here that he was not released. So all this stuff about, you know, oh, he has been released, conditional, they know all this information about the release, pretty weird considering he says himself he was not released.
Damn.
Okay. Yeah, all the things you said. Incredible. No, my children, my daughter just came up. She's got a bloody chin, and my son's crying. In that little tiny moment of the door being open, chaos unfurled.
I think the door was slammed into her chin.
No, she fucking fell at the park. She told me already. No, so I think that Aleister Black, in that conversation, said that he was getting... This is... If we could use this as just a step... Everybody listening... Take a big step back and realize this is just a fucking show. It's just a fucking game. We're having fun. Relax.
He said he received death threats due to the idea that he was leaving AEW.
Yes.
WWE.
Yeah. Yes. Which is,
like,
which
people
is,
are fucked up, man.
Which is absolutely insane. But it also goes back to what I said. Social media is the worst. You shouldn't be on social media. If you're checking social media often, you're going to get someone being a piece of shit to you. It's just inevitable. That's just how people just do that now, and they feel like that is completely acceptable, and it's not. And I felt terrible listening to him because you could tell it was like fucking him up to, like, why is this happening to me? Like, why the fuck are we talking about this? Like, and that is, if I was Tony Khan, out of all the things that I would be dealing with, number one would be that fucking situation of shit like that leaking. Like, that is very not cool. Like, you gotta tighten your ship, trust some people, cut out all these media scrum fucking things. They ain't working. They ain't helping nothing. Mm-hmm. And leave these fucking, that's one thing WWE always did good. Vince fucking talked to Dave, but Vince never let Dave anywhere near anything. He used it when he had to, definitely did. But then he just fucking, he's like, you're not really important. I just feed you a crumb when I need something from you. And that's what this has to be. Cause of all the things I heard in that, that's the one that pissed me off the most. Was that he's like, how did somebody find this out? How did someone even start to know this? Cause, like, there was a fucking inkling of truth that he was taking time off. But the problem was, did it come from he took a bow and everyone took that leap? Or did someone say something? And that's what you have to find
out. He seems to have a lot of deep-rooted issues with AEW, with the dirt sheets for reporting things false. Like, so it's good that he's taking time off. He definitely needs to, obviously.
I don't know if he has deep-rooted problems with AEW. I think he's just...
Well, he said people leaked stuff, and that wasn't the right thing. He said that he received broken promises that fucked with his head and his mental health.
For sure.
He said that he asked for his release.
And he was not granted his fucking release.
Right.
Which
clearly not, because he's not released.
So, I don't know. Alright, how do we do, BJ? Mike? Ooh! Alice is staying right where he belongs.
Nah, he'll be back.
In A-dub.
No.
Think of nothing better on a Wednesday night to do than watch TNT ignite from Dynamite. It's all elite. Ain't no competition cause they can't be beat. Every week use a square circle to make a masterpiece. Check out the pudding cause the proof is in it. They've blown the roof up off the biz and taking wrestling to the newest limits. The super villains out here super kicking fools up in their face until they lose their taste and every single tooth is missing. I know you're used to minutes at this part of the show, but they're better than everything and you already know. So listen up, pipsqueaks, I'm cutting this slick speech. Just pay attention to see what happened this week. In all this week, this week, this week, this week, this week, this week, in all elite. It's this week, this week, this week, this week, this week, this week, in all elite.
All Elite. I like that little sound thing. I sound like an alien, don't I? I'm like the guy from Police Academy, agree?
No. The guy that did good sound effects. You're nothing like that. That was a good one.
Yeah,
thanks, dude. Alright, we've been away for a couple weeks. I want to say this. A lot of drama in AEW land behind the scenes and all that shit. I'm here for all that kind of shit. Herb Abrams, I'm all about this chaos. I really
Tony
do.
Tony Abrams.
I truly live for it. It was part of ECW. In a weird way, it was part of Lucha. One of the reasons why I think I love Lucha so much is because we fought so hard to like find it on a station. We fought so hard to like, no, I hope they come out with season two. Please come out with season two. Like it was just, there was a lot of that.
The best.
There was a lot of Lucha, but there's always an element of like that's kind of why I like Vince being gone. Too, because it causes this chaos of, like, what's going to happen next. And I fucking live. Chaos reigns, always. I love that shit. We're back to AEW. I just real quick before we get into it, Grand Slam. I really enjoyed both episodes of Grand Slam. I enjoyed the appearance of Saraya. I'm going to get that one right. I got it.
Saraya's correct.
Great Muda. And you know what, people? The only thing I saw people yelling about, really, was Mox winning the title over Bryan. And you know what? I'm fine with it. Bryan has a history of injuries. Mox can, he's going to be a transitional champion.
Let the fucking guy go on vacation.
He's going to. MJF's going to take that title from him. Don't you worry, buddy. He's going to beat the fuck out of Mox. Your boy, Morrissey's going to beat the fucking piss out of him. He's going to win.
That's my boy?
Yeah, you always loved him. I always thought you were a big fan of Cass.
I like him.
Well, when Cass was on that singles run in WWE, I know you were a huge proponent of it.
I liked him. Yeah, I think he would have been a big star in WWE if he wouldn't have, like...
Got drunk. No, that's okay. Hey, listen, it's time to fucking reclaim what's his, man. He's fucking could be top dog.
He's basically just new Wardlow.
Yeah, I don't see him. I see him more like Test.
Yeah.
I mean, he kind of looks like Test.
I mean, that aside, just that kind of guy, mid-card, top of mid-card heel.
But I mean, he's just his bodyguard.
For now. Give it time, buddy. You just give it a little time. Okay, so let's wrap.
Why do you have to do like shit like that for I'm about to wrap?
That's your fault, dude. I don't know. I'm doing it.
We've been gone too long, like a long forgotten song. AEW riding high, like a monster ripped from a bong. Grand Slam, I'm more juice than Aaron Judge. Shut your mouth, Donnie. E. Jones mad, just waiting to hold a grudge. Jericho and Cesaro put on ROH Thriller. The Acclaimed win to a pop that is killer. MJF out, talking that devil shit to the BCC. Vince likes to watch as his girl takes BBC. Jay Cargill in the bed, he still get my heart racing. Trina shows up, the baddest bitch, they still chasing. For these match was a coming out party for Storm. Who's this new chick? I think I saw her do porn. Punk may be gone, acting like a dick bigger than Big Ben. Good thing we got Dragon and Mox to save it all again. Hell of a match, and the right booking choice. Not afraid to say these guys make me moist. Shifting gears to a Grand Slam rampage. We went past all that drama backstage. While Aleister was away, the House of Black would play with the upper hand until Grey Muda on the way. Bronson in action, showing NYC what Hook is all about. War Joe clanging belts, making foes run like a crowd. Jungle Boy and Phoenix showing pure athletic feats. I beat him meeting Christian and Luchasaurus' sheets. Kingston whooping that ass, but Sammy G get the win. The things George would do to Tay would be an ultimate sin. Adam Page wins the Golden Ticket Battle Royal. That's what you get for calling Punk fucking disloyal. Another week of Grand Slam shows, topping the million, fucking the C Mark hoes. I'll be the bigger man, admit the dub has been better. But Tone still wears Paulie L's wife like a fucking sweater.
That is awesome.
Stephanie would beat the living fuck out of Tony Khan.
Yeah, and guess who would love every second of it? Tony fucking Khan, dude. Probably. Come on. Everybody. Anybody who'd want to be part of that.
I would love every second.
Consensually, everybody. Yeah, that was great. That was a great recap, great rap. You really handled that. You really killed that one, bud. I know some lines in there could be controversial this week. But I know that going into a rap. And you got to understand the game. And I think I play the game.
No limits.
No limits. Exactly. I'm like 50 Cent.
No.
I'll shoot you to death over rap. I'm like 50 Cent. Mike, thoughts on all this? AEW or the rap?
Grand Slam was all right. I didn't agree with Mox winning. I understand he's just going to drop title to MJF. But I think that MJF and Danielson at least would have done something different and exciting and new. Like, Mox has won the title literally like 3 or 4 times in the last couple of months. Just repetitive at this point.
It's not repetitive. And, he literally is not repetitive. Fuck, dude, he keeps being the backbone of the company.
Every big match he's had in AEW to this point, which is an even bigger issue.
I disagree. Mox is your fucking backbone of your company. He has
and
been
since day
one. And I'm
also not a fan of Jericho winning the ROH title. I understand. And here's what I understand.
It plays the storyline perfectly, though.
Well, sure, I guess. It involves Daniel Garcia, so I'm not too interested in that. But what they're trying to do, I think, is, all right, well, when we first got a TV deal for AEW, we put the title on Jericho because he was a known commodity, and it helped us in that regard. We're trying to get a TV deal for ROH, so let's put the title on Jericho, who's a known commodity. So I think that's their line of thinking, but I just hate that, like, ROH.
I don't think they're getting a TV deal.
Well, I think they want one. Or at least a streaming deal or something. But I would have ROH in AEW as separate as possible. It was my fear when this happened that it was just going to become the same thing as AEW, essentially. And with Jericho winning it, that's really what it is. At least with Claudio, like, it felt like it was maybe a little bit different because he was in ROH. With Jericho, it just feels like it's just AEW.
Well, it all is AEW. Ring of Honor was essentially fucking dead.
It felt like something different from the WWE main roster. ROH should feel like something different from AEW.
But they don't have their own TV show. That's the fucking difference. It's just happening on AEW TV.
Block out a period of time on the show.
No, that's not what you're doing. You're fucking. You're literally building AEW, dude.
Rewatch it then.
Well, I think
on the roster.
We'll see that.
The match between Mox and D-Bry was really good.
Yeah, it's awesome.
But I would have preferred for Brian to win a championship. No, fault of Mox, but I think it would have been a cool year-long story where last year it was Brian against Omega and, they went, time limit, I think, in that match. And he didn't win the championship. So it would have been cool if, a year later at Grand Slam, he finally wins the championship. I just think that would have been a great moment for Grand Slam.
I just love Mox so much.
I love Mox too, but
I love him so much. I want him to win these matches.
I
do.
Going on vacation would have been really good for him to eventually come back, and I don't know. I just
he's gone then, dude. They just pushed it back a month. They rescheduled it. He paid the Tony picked up the change fees. Renee and the baby. We're all gonna have a fucking really nice time fishing. Don't worry.
I don't know. Would have been different for Mox.
Would have been better.
I just disagree because when I think of AEW and who's the backbone of that company and with lose and I think it was when they said that Kenny Omega and all those guys and fucking CM Punk, them not being on the shows, they're like, we got to call Mox back in. We got to call. And I think it's like that you reward him.
Well, yeah, you're always going to think of him like that because they give him the win and the title every time. Give somebody else the shot.
Dude, you're so fucking pathetic. You're over here defending Roman fucking Reigns for two fucking years.
He's won the title multiple times over the past couple months.
He's won the title two times in the last 3 months or whatever it was.
Three times if you count the interim, which was him being champion essentially while Punk was out. Three times.
Okay, and he's the top guy. He is a top guy.
Well, maybe Danielson should be the top guy.
I just don't, listen, in a moment of a need like that, I want to give it to Mox. I really do. I fucking love what he's doing there. And I love that Daniel Bryan, and here, maybe that this is a catalyst to a fucking Daniel Bryan heel turn at some point, which would be incredible. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited for where it goes as well.
The, Julia Hart bump.
Yeah, that's not good. Was that was really rough.
That was dangerous. I enjoyed that, Sting was out there fucking doing table bumps off the top rope to the outside. It's like, holy shit.
That dude fucking is going to, he's trying to die in the ring.
It's amazing that he's still going like that. I think it looks great in the ring. I think his matches are good. Like, so all about it. But I'm like, you didn't have to do that. Let Darby do that, if anything. But that was a fun match.
Darby Allin with Sting is the worst thing that ever happened to Sting. Because he is just like, no, I'll do that bump.
I would argue it's the worst thing that ever happened to Darby Allin because he's like overshadowed all the time.
I disagree. I think fucking Darby Allin's fucking getting like all kinds of rub. And well, when they eventually feud with each other and Darby Allin turns on him, it's going to be incredible.
I don't think that happens.
I definitely think that. Are you kidding me?
Sting doesn't seem to want to do any fucking singles matches, or they don't want him to do any.
Listen, don't you worry. Don't you worry.
Worry?
I said worry. Did I? I don't know. Getting stretched.
I think you just don't talk too good.
I don't.
There's way too many people, way too many championships. They need to fucking cut shit down.
Or they need another show. Or another hour.
They should let these people who ask for their release, like, go, probably.
There's just too many people. They bring in everyone, and they still have it where it's like, oh, well, we need someone new to come in and show their face. Like, no, you really don't. Like, you have a lot of people on the roster. Use them. That's one of the issues with Aleister Black. He was brought in, and nothing fucking happened to him.
Well, it's like Juice Robinson's coming in for a fucking match. Somebody else is coming in for a fucking match.
Bandito.
You gotta take care of your own.
Yeah, I mean, it's just unnecessary for Juice Robinson to be getting a fucking...
I like it. I like showcases.
We know you
like showcases.
AEW did it, so you like it. We know.
I would like it in AEW. I would like in WWE, too, if a New Japan guy showed up for a one-off match.
Would you like it with a mouse? Would you like it in a house?
I definitely would, Mike.
That was great, and it was special. But when you do it, like, every fucking week, it's not special.
It's special to me. Okay, let's move on.
Not special.
Can you... What is that?
That thing, dude?
That was a
car?
That couldn't
have been a car. It sounded like a steam engine.
It sounded like a fucking spaceship literally flying between the buildings.
You all know what a spaceship sounds like.
I dedicate this to the throwbacks. Like seeing a shirt in 06, ECW. One night stand, I won't hold back. Like take the remedies, the battle in the backlash. 07 to one man stand, we'll bring it back to the days of Lord Alfred Hayes. Hall and Nash and Jade, Hollywood drops the lay. They say the days of old are the best though. That's why we bring to you Ring Rush Retro. Let's go.